stay with it. Amen. Brother David, you come on. Brother Tim's going to get the wireless mic on you real quick. Amen. He's going to come preach to us. Let's get with him tonight. Help him. Amen. Smile. Amen. That'll help a whole lot. I know how it is preaching your first message, and I hadn't ever let you hear it. Don't know if I ever will, but I got it at home. Amen. It's bad. But I'm glad the Lord can help you make yourself available. Amen. But I'm glad for these young men. I tell you what a blessing. God's still calling men to preach. Amen. I promise you this. And you absolute take this as we say to the bank. God will have a voice till Jesus comes. You can rest assured. Everybody is not going to compromise. Everybody ain't going to quit. There'll be those still faithfully serving the Lord, and there'll still be men preaching the gospel when Jesus comes. There'll be faith on the earth. I'll promise you that. Amen. It got dark in the day of Noah. Got down to a few, but I'm telling you what, they still a few. Amen. And I'm glad they are today. Dave, you come preach to us tonight. Appreciate you, son.
I just want to thank Pastor for this opportunity. I'll be preaching on Revelations chapter 3. And I'll start in verse 3, and then I'll go to verse 10, then 11, and then verse 20. And when you find your place, if you will stand. Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 3, says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." And then if you will go to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Then verse 11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And then verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and him with me." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, help me, Lord, as I preach, Lord, to remember everything I've studied, Lord. Pray everybody's attentive, Lord, and there's somebody that's not saved, Lord, I pray you save them. Just let them pray. Amen. I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on don't get deleted. God gave me this message. I was sitting in school. We were during a time, we had like 15 minutes to read, and I was doing that, and I was just reading my Bible, and it came to me. Anybody, if you ever used Microsoft Word, made a PowerPoint, will you raise your hand? Yeah, that's what I figured. You know that when you make that, you have to save it to a file. And if you don't, when you leave, you hit that X button, it's gone forever. Yeah. But if you save it, it's there. It can't be gone. It's there forever. Right. You can come back 30 years later, it's still there. That's how we are. If you get saved, you're there forever. However, if you don't, when that X is put on your life, when your life is over, you're gone. There's no getting you back. For my first point, I want to say, just five quick points. I want to say, firstly, that we don't know when God will come. Acts 24:25 says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" So therefore, we are on God's time. It says, "When I have a convenient season." Convenient means your time, whenever you want it. And it says, "I will call for thee." So whenever God wants to, he's going to come. It's a set time, and nobody can change that. I hate to tell these scientists that try to predict the end of the world, and they say, "Oh, the world's going to end here." And then people pray, "Lord, will you please come sooner?" That's just not going to change nothing. And then it says, in verse 3, it says, I will come on thee as a thief. If you hear these stories of people getting robbed, banks getting robbed, places like that, when somebody gets robbed, most of the time, they did not know it was going to happen. But whenever it's happening, they knew it was happening. And some people, I knew some people that in their store, they have guns behind their counter. Some people are prepared. Some people aren't. If you're not prepared, then it's just going to be bad. But if you're prepared, it's good. So therefore, when God comes, if you're not prepared, you're going to die. But if you're prepared, you're going to live. Then also, we don't know the hour God comes. My life verse, Matthew 24:42, says, "Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come." So we don't know the hour God's going to come. And then in verse 11, it says, "He will come quickly." It said, "Behold, I come quickly." What does quickly mean to you? Some people's quickly is others. Some people quicker than others. My quickly is really slow. If you're in my family, you know that To me, quickly is really slow. To some, quickly is really fast. To God, quickly is the blink of an eye. So therefore, to God, it says, behold, I will come quickly. To God, it's been 2 days since he died on the cross. To Jesus died on the cross 2 days ago to God. The Bible says it's been to God, a day is of 1,000 years. And then, like I said, with Acts 24:25, we're on God's time. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. There is a set time for everything that happens. And then secondly, I want to say to get saved, first of all, you have to have the knowledge and understanding. You have to know what Jesus did. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall be bruised thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God did not send Jesus as an afterthought. Salvation was always going to happen. Jesus was always going to come. God didn't wake up one day and say, hey, look, I should do this. Everything God ever said he would do, would do. God said Israel would never be a complete nation. God said everybody would hate Christians, would hate Jesus. That happens. If you read the Old Testament, you will see from Genesis to Isaiah, a lion on a path, and nothing was going to derail that path. And that's the way Jesus was. No matter what the devil did, God could send a devil, or the devil could send a demon to him, or the devil could just tempt him himself. Nothing was going to derail that. You see, Jesus was tempted in the desert, but nothing derailed that. He would not sin no matter what. And then you have to know that it was the only begotten Son. That is the fine line between the King James Version and other versions. All the other versions, I have not found one version that says only begotten. In Genesis 3:16, or not Genesis 3:16, John 3:16, it says only begotten. Other versions say only Son. The word begotten is huge, and people don't see that. They think just one word will change it, or won't change it, but it does. It changes it huge. And then I want to say, you have to know that to compare to God, we're as worms. Isaiah 41:14 says, thou worm Jacob. You realize that in Isaiah, Jesus was wrestling with Jacob. He was physically, literally wrestling with Jacob. Let me ask you a question. Would you wrestle with a worm? If you were walking to go check your mail and there was a worm down that path, would you wrestle it? Would you just step on it or would you wrestle with it? It would take a tender-hearted person to wrestle with a worm. And then I want to say, you have to know that if you're not saved, you're going to hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So therefore, we were born into the wages of sin. We were born lost. But the gift of God is eternal life. So when you take the gift of God, you have eternal life. But until then, you're automatically dead. And then thirdly, I want to say, you have to have the belief and the faith. Some people say, oh, what is faith? Faith is believing something without proof that it is real, without evidence. I was in a kind of argument conversation type with somebody, and they told me they believed in God because somebody found Noah's Ark. And I told them that Noah took apart the Ark and made an altar. And they didn't seem to like that. But you don't, if you have to have proof to believe in God, I would question your salvation. I would question your belief. And then the difference between the knowledge and the understanding and the belief is that atheists, they have the knowledge. They don't have the belief. You ask an atheist, they hate God. However, they have the knowledge. Some people, they have the knowledge, they have the head knowledge, and that is where all the fake salvations, the professions of faith come along. As people, they know about it, so they think that that saves them. But you have to believe it. You have to believe what Jesus did. You see, in Romans 10:9, he talks about, here, let me find it real quick. I lost it. There it is. Nope, never mind. Oh, here it is. I marked it, and then it went away. But Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that, therefore, the only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus. You have to believe that he was raised from the dead. You can't just believe that he was born a virgin and then died and that was it. A lot of people believe that, but that's wrong. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross, but he didn't stop there. He rose again on the third day like he said he would. Amen. Then you have to believe all of it. Like I just said, some people, they like to believe their own thing. They don't want to believe the Bible. They like to just go on their own path and they, like, that's where you get all these other versions of the Bible, is people have their separate opinions, so they try to make people believe that. But God didn't give Moses, God didn't give Moses the Ten Commandments and just say, all right, you get five of these, and then you can just not do the other five. They were all something to do. You're supposed to believe all of it. And then not only believing all of it, but you believe. It says here, it says, if thou shalt believe in thine heart, therefore your heart. You can't just, like, you see it, especially at youth meetings, somebody's friend will get saved, and then they'll go up there, and they'll be like, okay, I'm saved. And some people will do that. And if it, God does not lay on your heart to get saved, and you get saved, then you don't actually get saved. And then fourthly, I want to say you have to be willing and you have to repent. To repent, you have to be humble. And be humble means you have to be humiliated. You have to realize that you are nothing, like I talked about earlier about the worm. You have to realize that you are nothing compared to God. It says in James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves on the side of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So if you want God to lift you up, you have to humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, you're not going to be lifted up by God. And then it says, he shall lift you up. So God's the only person that can lift you up. Nothing you do or nothing that you have will make you be lifted up, can save you. Then you have to let God save you. To be willing, you have to let it happen. You see all these movies and stories, people saying they're being held against their will, meaning they don't want it to happen and they're not letting it happen. It's being something they don't want to happen. If you don't want to get saved, you're not going to get saved. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him and him with me, or he with me. So therefore, God is knocking at the door. God is wanting you to get saved. But it says, if any man hear my voice. So therefore, when somebody comes and knocks on your door, they say you don't want to talk to them, friend maybe you don't like, somebody like that, comes to your door and knocks, you know they're there, but you don't answer the door. Therefore, you're refusing them. You're not letting them in. So if you don't want to get saved, you're not going to get saved. Then you can't get saved without repenting. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall likewise perish. Amen. That likewise is the only thing I don't like about that verse is because unless you repent, you're going to perish. Because, you see, to be humble, obviously, like I said earlier, to be humiliated. If you're humble, you have to repent. Because if you repent, you're humble. If you're not humble, you're not going to repent. Simple. And then fifthly, don't procrastinate getting saved. There's a bunch of reasons why you shouldn't procrastinate being saved. And one reason is you might not get a second chance. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So therefore, you don't know what tomorrow holds. There's a song, I can't remember it, but there's a song that I used to love. I mean, I still love it, I just don't remember it. It's a good song. How was that funny? But we don't know what tomorrow holds. And then it's a sin. If God deals with your heart to get saved or any kind of form to get saved, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, or to just go to the altar during the service, it is a sin not to. It says in Psalms 10:6, says, he that has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Here, the he is of the wicked. I have a whole message about this passage of scripture in Psalms 10. Anybody that is of the wicked, sinning. Anything you do that is wicked, you're sinning. And if you don't, God deals on your heart to go to the altar and you don't, or God deals on your heart to not get saved, or to get saved and you don't, then it's a sin. And then you don't have forever. Like I said, there may not be a second chance. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Not knowing what tomorrow holds means that you could leave here, get in a car wreck, and die. The rapture could come in 5 minutes. The rapture could come right now. So we never know when that's going to happen. But not only do we not know when God's going to come, you don't know whenever you're going to die. And then I guess I'll conclude there, Pastor.
Prayer. Amen. Thank you for watching and preaching. Father, thank you tonight for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, you've made it possible that sinners could be saved by your blood, and I thank you for it. I pray, Lord, in this time of invitation, you'd take, Lord, the word of God that's been preached. May it touch hearts. May a sinner be saved. May your people be helped. And all you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. I wonder tonight, as he's preached a message about salvation, maybe there's someone that's come in here tonight. You're not saved. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. By lifting your hand, you're showing that you're interested. You're concerned about your soul. You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. I need the Lord. And you just slip your hand up. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost without God. I see that hand. Amen. I'm glad that it's whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad that all that come to him, he'll no wise cast out. You come on the terms of the gospel, he'll save you tonight. Oh, I'm glad it is a simple message. I'm glad that it's not a hard thing to get saved. Anybody else, preacher, I'm not saved. Is there a Christian here tonight? Say, preacher, I'm not walking with the Lord like I should. I'm living for him like I ought to. Pray for me. I sure want to be on fire for him. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Let's stand tonight. This old-fashioned altar's open. Brother Tim, lead us in a song. You need to pray. Come. Maybe you're just burdened about something. You can come cast it upon the Lord. If you're not saved, come. We'd love to take the Bible, show you how to be born again while we sing. Amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me add a throne of mercy, find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
While she plays, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, given just another moment. I sure appreciate God's man preaching a good salvation message tonight. I'm glad that it is whosoever will, let him come. If it hadn't been that way, I'd probably been left out. Pretty sure it would have been. But I'm glad he included me and included everybody. Father, thank you again for letting us be here tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you're still calling men to preach the gospel. Lord, help us, Lord, as a church family, always be about the Father's business. Help us always to get the gospel out. Father, thank you again for our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I appreciate the message, don't you? Amen. I appreciate him just being himself, living what's on his heart. And I tell you, we're going to be praying for him, and hope you will, as he'll continue to grow in the Lord. And somebody said, preacher, how is it you get up to preach? I try it. You'll find out real quick. Amen. It's sometimes pretty nerve-wracking, but it is a privilege. Amen. And I appreciate these young men around the church, and these men have been preaching a while. Matter of fact, I mentioned wanted to mention, forgot it during the prayer time. Brother Ben's been helping a church out a little bit while in between, while they're looking for a candidate, just filling in a little bit for them. He's not a candidate. I want to say that too, but he's just kind of helping them out, and others of our preachers out about preaching. And then Brother Jeb getting ready to head to Arizona just a little over a month now. And so I appreciate God using these men. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it. Let me remind you some things real